Network, information for the independent mind.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, on location. Today, from the University of Sydney, we're going to learn about how elderberry juice, scientifically confirmed to function as a natural remedy for the flu. That's important. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal of Functional Foods. Also today, time permitting, we're going to have a commentary from John Whitehead, one of America's leading constitutional scholars and lawyers, about what happened with John Lennon. I knew John Lennon, but no one knew that the deep state was against him. So we have a commentary about one man against the monster. Also today, one of our guests on a recent program sent Richard Gale an article. Professor Ronald Purser, who I had on, I believe, in the beginning of last week. Now, this particular article is interesting because it picks up on what I've been telling you, that Greta Thunberg is on point and on message. But everything around her, I believe, my personal opinion, from her parents on, are exploiting her. And she's showing up in too many places, nonstop, getting awards for which she does not deserve, from people who have a hidden agenda. Now others are looking into this, including Tom Swiss. He has just written an article, a very good article. I will be reading this today. And it's called Glamour, Rebirth, and Black Magic. And it's very interesting. Quote, breaking the glamour of Greta Thunberg and all of his documentation, Richard Gale, I've been working nonstop, so I didn't have a chance to verify, but we verify everything. So we're going to get to that today. Also today, there's some audio clips I'm going to play you that are very important. One is Anonymous has a message for Greta Thunberg. She should pay attention. She probably won't hear this, but others in the audience will. And a CD whistleblower admits the MMR vaccine causes autism. It's a six-minute clip. It's authentic. I verified this. I've spoken with the original source. I've had independent corroboration. I have the documentation. And it's amazing. Because if the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, or any other mainstream media was given this clip, they immediately would have a headline story. All CDC scientists involved in vaccine research have engaged in a cover-up showing vaccine, the MMR vaccine, causes autism. Not a word. Anyhow, let's go to what's really important that we can do something about, and that is positive information in this day with our own body, our own health. We can't help what happens with a bunch of people who are greedy, malfunctioning in so many ways, who decide what an entire community needs, and therefore from far away, with no knowledge of the community, no knowledge of the people, no knowledge of the producers, no knowledge of what makes the unique listening to BAI and its programming. That's real arrogance. That's utter conceit, but that is Pacifica from top to bottom. So we'll talk about health. That's more important. Influenza. A lot of people are going to do a stupid thing. They're going to run out and get a flu shot. That's your right. You have a choice to do that. You can smoke some cigarettes while you're at it. You can eat some pork. There might even be some on a curb. You can do that too. After all, if you're going to double down on dumb, why not do everything in your life that's dumb? And then one day you end up with a disease. And then you think, oh my God, how did this happen? The flu shot is one of the dumbest things a human being can do, because if you did even superficial research, you would realize there's nothing scientifically valid about it. I'll give you an example. Let's say they give 10 million flu shots out, or 100 million. And then they report how many people came down with the flu or didn't come down with the flu. Guess what? Those of you who didn't come down with the flu, 100% of the credit for you not coming down with flu went to the flu shot. That's insane. That's not science. That's garbage. Now, if I did the same thing with vitamin C, and if I said, everyone in America take vitamin C, 100 milligrams a day. So everyone in America took, 332 million people took 100 milligrams of vitamin C. And everyone who didn't come down with a cold, I said, see, vitamin C prevented the cold. They say, but that's insane. There's so many reasons for a person's health and well-being not to come down with a cold. They would be right. I would be wrong. But when they say that if you get a flu shot and don't come down with the flu, it's because of the vaccine, they're wrong. But also, influenza is also called the flu. It's incredibly common. Between 5 to 20% of the American population results in about 31 million outpatient visits and 200,000 hospitalizations per year. So we have to do something. Building up your immune system is the best thing to do. But flu is a respiratory illness, which can vary in severity from being fairly mild to causing secondary complications that can be deadly. So what to do if you choose not to do the vaccine? Elderberry. Elderberry juice is a very potent flu fighter. You see, the flu virus, which can change year to year, is airborne. And patients are contagious for the first 3 to 4 days after the onset of symptoms. And since flu virus can fly through the air and spread when an infected person coughs or sneezes or talks, it's very difficult to contain an outbreak. And as I've already mentioned, focusing on getting more people vaccinated is not the solution because these vaccines are ineffective at best and dangerous at worst. Giving one example, last year the flu vaccine only provided, by their calculation, a 25% level of effectiveness overall, with only 17% efficacy among those over the age of 65 and even lower rates of protection among older children and younger adults. But that does not mean that the flu cannot be prevented. Integrative practitioners have always known that elderberry can help fight body influenza. And the researchers used commercially farmed elderberries, which were turned into a juice serum and applied to cells before, during, and after they had been infected with the influenza virus. Now, the phytochemicals from the elderberry juice were shown to be effective at stopping the virus infecting the cells, and researchers found they were even more effective at inhibiting viral pathogens at later stages of the influenza cycle when the cells had already had been infected with the virus. So while this research team was not the first to discover the flu-fighting abilities of elderberries, they were the first to uncover exactly why this fruit has such immune-boosting properties. The scientists confirmed that powerful phytochemicals in elderberries are responsible for their flu-fighting capabilities. In particular, compounds called antho, A-N-T-H-O, cyanidins, C-Y-A-N-I-D-I-N-S, and the phytonutrients responsible for the vivid purple color. That's where they get their healing power. So these compounds can directly prevent the flu virus from entering a person's body, prevent the virus from replicating within the cell, and can boost your immune system so the body is better able to fight off not just that, but any other condition. Plus, elderberries have other amazing health benefits, including fighting cancer. Now, from Johns Hopkins University comes a study about leafy green vegetables helping with chronic kidney disease. That's correct. A plant-based diet can lower your risk of chronic kidney disease. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal, the Clinical Journal of American Society of Nephrology. So the takeaway message is simple. When you switch to a healthy plant-based diet, and that's becoming more and more common, by the way, and that's good, numerous studies have shown that plant foods and plant-based nutrients support overall health, and this one, it also helps your kidneys, especially people susceptible to chronic kidney disease. So again, one more reason to make good choices. From Boston University, can juice change your gray matter? Well, study finds that, now I should have said electrical juice, juicing. Electrical stimulation does indeed improve brain function in the elderly. Now, aging is inevitable. How we age, including the loss of our memory, is within our control. I'm involved right now in a study. We just finished the first full week. We're starting our second week of 12 weeks. And people already are showing amazing improvements. Now, I won't be able to check their blood till the end of the study. But as far as all their other symptoms, you know, improving blood pressure, improving pulse rate, improving endurance and stamina, losing body fat, and having more energy, and sleeping through the night, and not having bloating and distension, and removing pain, all that's done in the first week. So one of the things I believe in is electrical stimulation, mild electrical stimulation, properly done. And that's exactly what Boston University noted, how 25 minutes of non-invasive electrical stimulation led to improvements in working memory in older adults. That's important. And Professor Robert Reinhardt, a professor at Boston University, said that it's all new insights that they're gaining into the brain and age-related memory and how it begins to decline and how to overcome these. That's good. So it's very good to give your brain an electric boost done properly, done by people who are professionals in the field. Remember, working memory refers to the brain's ability to hold and manipulate information over brief intervals. People use working memory all the time. But if they don't know it to recall a phone number or a conversation or even a set of instructions, then they are losing it. So this ability is central to many brain functions, including a person's intelligence, even basic sensory processes. And psychologists and neuroscientists are interested in studying working memory for different reasons. So this is important, and I'll do more on the effects of stimulation and what type of stimulation, how it's done, how long it should be done. And these are all non-invasive electrical methods, lightly stimulating their brains. So, and this was a double-blind study. So that's important. But I'm going to do a whole guest interview on this with a leading neurobiologist. From Wuhan University in China, quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. That's what you get when you eat an apple. That's what you get when you eat an onion. All really good for you. But also it improves the blood-brain barrier. And especially if there's been a cerebral ischemia or a stroke. What is known as reperfusion therapy after cerebral ischemia often leads to reperfusion injury, which may cause brain edema and blood-brain barrier dysfunction. Well, here is a natural bioflavonoid, quercetin, and that can exert a protective effect when this happens. So one of the things that is on every protocol for anyone I know has stroke is quercetin, 5 times a day, generally 1,000 milligrams. From the National Academy of Sciences of the Ukraine comes a short-term probiotic regime, meaning take it orally, can help treat gout and kidney disease. That shouldn't be much of a mystery, because the billions of good bacteria that you're putting into your body change the entire communication among cells in the gut. And what we know is gout is a form of arthritis caused by buildup of uric acid crystals around your joints. The body produces, by the way, uric acid as it breaks down purines, a compound found in many foods, but mainly a lot of protein. Hence, you're far more susceptible to having gout and gouty arthritis if you eat a lot of meat. And so uric acid levels in the blood and also hardened accumulations of the crystals can also form under the skin and around affected joints. So you feel them, and it feels like little broken shreds of glass in there. was shards of glass. So these studies have linked gout with chronic inflammation. The more overweight you are, the more likely you are to have these. The more meat you are, the more likely to have it. So gout is a dangerous and underdiagnosed disease. And the definition of metabolic syndrome does not include gout, but I believe it should, because it's so common, and it also impacts your kidneys. So just remember, when you have probiotics, you help prevent this process. And finally, cancer patients who exercise have less heart damage from chemotherapy. This is from the University of Siena in Italy, published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology. So when you exercise, you're protecting your heart. When you're doing chemotherapy, you're hurting your heart. When you exercise and take chemotherapy, which many people will do, you're protecting your heart. It's that simple. And this is a major study. Okay, oh, by the way, one last thing from the University of Reading. A single glass of orange juice boosts cognitive function and conscious mental acuity. That's important. So in terms of antioxidant prowess, oranges are a highly underrated fruit. They contain carotenoids and flavonoids and vitamin C. And just a single glass helps your brain. And that was even against the placebo. This was published in European Journal of Nutrition. It was a relatively small glass of juice. You don't have to have a huge glass of juice to benefit from orange juice. It's rich in lutein, xanthin, compounds that play a role in helping prevent age-related macular degeneration or loss of vision and cognitive impairment. So one more reason to take your orange juice every day. And by the way, cinnamon cools your stomach. That's one of the spices of life. So if you have upset stomach, according to scientific reports, add some cinnamon to anything, to a smoothie or to something you're eating. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to go directly to a whistleblower talking and admitting. You hear the action. This is his actual voice. This is 100% accurate. You hear him admitting, and a call he's not aware is being recorded, that they lied, they manipulated, they covered up the fact that the MMR vaccine had a 324% increase in African-American boys 36 months and younger. That is a crime against humanity. You're dealing with millions of African-Americans. Every African-American in America should be outraged at this. Why aren't there any marches, any articles? Why? Why isn't this on anyone's radar screen? This is institutional racism. These are the same clowns that did the Tuskegee experiment and watched African Americans die torturous deaths over 40 years. And now they're doing it with the MMR vaccine, and we caught them. Now imagine if this kind of prima facie evidence were given for anything else. Back with this in just a moment. Please stay with us.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a toy. Baby, my time is too expensive, and I'm not a little boy.
Scott Montgomery and I put forward a hypothesis for MMR vaccine and autism. The age that you receive the vaccine influences the risk. This makes sense. For some infections like measles, the age of infection changes the outcome. We shared this hypothesis with vaccine officials, members of the Centers for Disease Control at meetings in Washington, D.C. and Cold Spring Harbor. A group of senior vaccine safety people at the CDC studied it. It panned out. We were right, at least partly. By November the 9th, 2001, nearly 13 years ago, senior CDC scientists knew that younger age of exposure to MMR was associated with an increased risk of autism. In 2004, they published, but they hid the results.
That's the lowest point in my career that I went along with that paper. And I went along with this. We didn't report significant findings.
MMR was declared safe.
The IOM has evaluated this issue back in 2004 and again most recently in 2011. And you know, their conclusion, again, it was not just looking at the work that was done at CDC, but with the total body of evidence, was suggesting that vaccines and their components did not increase the risk for autism.
What Dr. Colleen Boyle, a co-author of that blighted paper, did not tell Congress is that she and her colleagues had deliberately concealed the autism vaccine link from the Institute of Medicine and the public. Ironically, they even received an award from the Secretary of Health and Human Services for this work. So troubling was the fraud that one of the CDC researchers broke ranks. Eventually, he made contact with Dr. Brian Hooker, father of a vaccine-injured child with autism and a vaccine safety researcher.
I received a phone call out of the blue. It had a 404 area code, so I knew it was from the CDC. Lo and behold, it was. He had much to confess.
I'm completely ashamed of what I did. I have great shame now. I was complicit, and I went along with this.
He had appointed me his priest. And when he appointed me his priest, then he started confessing. And we have had many, many phone exchanges. We've exchanged dozens of emails, and he has released quite compelling information regarding fraud and malfeasance in the CDC.
We didn't report significant findings.
Sent Hooker information that was never intended for public scrutiny. From their own data sheets dated 2001, Dr. Hooker analyzed the CDC's results, and he found the same risk for autism that the CDC scientists had themselves identified.
It's all there. It's all there.
He confronted.
He has expressed significant remorse for lying, for burying data.
I have great shame now when I meet families with kids with autism because I have been part of the problem.
This week, August the 10th, 2014, Dr. Hooker published the real findings. A 340% increased risk of autism in boys receiving the MMR on time compared with those receiving it later. 13 years and tens of thousands of children later. But as I've said, Dr. Montgomery and I were only partly right. The risk of autism from early MMR vaccination was seen in black children. Black boys. Those boys, for some reason, are at very high risk. Consistent with the CDC's own findings, the rate of autistic regression in black children is reported to be twice that in white children.
Oh my God, I cannot believe we did what we did.
Tuskegee Revisited. Scientist Dr. David Lewis, an international expert in whistleblowing and the detection of scientific fraud, reviewed the original CDC documents and the paper they published in 2004.
Probably this is the clearest case and the easiest case in which to answer. Is it fraud or is it an accident? Is it just an artifact of the study that we're dealing with here? Clearly it's fraud.
He knows that he's culpable for damage. He knows that he's culpable for permanent damage of a large, significant portion of the population of the United States.
The higher-ups wanted to do certain things, and I went along with it.
Dr. Frank DeStefano, Dr. Marshallin Jürgen Alsop, Dr. Colleen Boyle. They knew. They let it happen, and they could have stopped it. Michigan lawyer Allison Folmar, an award-winning advocate for children and parental rights, gave her reaction.
I feel, first and foremost, as a human being, you know, betrayed. When you lose your faith and trust in humanity, you know, how do you How do you repair that? I mean, I don't really know what to say, to be honest.
He is very regretful about his involvement.
That's the lowest point in my career that I went along with that paper. I'm not going to lie. I basically have stopped lying.
You see, vile as the crimes of Stalin, Pol Pot, and Hitler were, these men were not hypocrites. Their motives ambiguous or their rhetoric glazed with apparent caring and compassion. These men were not entrusted with the welfare of their victims. Their mottos did not include the words to save lives and protect. They were not running a mandatory program disguised as caring. How many children? How many went to the wall in that decade of silence? How many presidents, Mr. Obama?
Let us put this in proper perspective. The woman you heard giving an answer was doing so under oath before Congress. The researcher for the legislator had met with me, and I shared information from my original investigations on the corruption within the science of vaccinology. We showed them that there were no true double-blind studies. We showed them the different types of brain injury, including autism spectrum disorder, that came from the different vaccines, primarily the MMR vaccine. And when the legislator asked this person questions, she lied. Now, you heard a little beep, 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 beep. His name is William Thompson. In my personal opinion, he is an absolute coward and a shame and a disgrace to the scientific community. Why? Because after he was caught, after he wasn't caught, when he found out that he was being recorded, and only when he found out he was being recorded, and that he had spent hours talking about the corruption inside the FDA, how when the results came back and they showed there was an absolute definite 100% correlation between MMR vaccine and autism in African-American children, they hid it. There was a meeting up and down the entire command, which is a military structure in this command at the CDC. So everyone from the top person down knew this was going on, and they brought all their research, they brought all their books, and they put them all into garbage bags and threw them away, except for him. Thompson decided, what if I'm ever asked before Congress to give evidence? What if I have a Freedom of Information request? I don't want to get myself in trouble. So he then kept a copy. That copy was sent to a Florida legislator. That Florida legislator read the contents on the floor of the House into the official congressional record. So now, what do? They give him a raise. They give him an award. Yeah, William Thompson. If he was a man of principle, integrity, morality, and character, he would have said, I don't want your award. I don't want your bribery, because when you give me an award and you give me a raise, it's to keep my mouth shut. And Posey, the legislator from Florida, has not yet been able to get anyone in Congress to co-sponsor a hearing. The pharmaceutical industry reps came in and inundated the people they have captured financially and says, don't allow this to come out. And they haven't. Democrats and Republicans, mainly Democrats in this case. And so the truth is withheld. And then on top of it, they double down to make sure that you get the MMR vaccine as one of the mandated vaccines. Now, I don't have time today, but tomorrow we actually found out who is the top physician in California who's behind all this. And we have her entire record of how she got to be this draconian person with these evil mandates. So just so you know, if William Thompson really cared, he would go forward. He would go into the public. He would hold a press conference. He would release the information he has, and he would tell the truth. The entire American media would be held then to account. Now, those at MSNBC and CNN and the New York Times, they would immediately side with the CDC and say, well, there's something wrong with him and his information. They lie. And the entire American media is nothing but pathologically dysfunctional at this point. Nobody trusts the media, and rightly so. Only some alternative or people who used to be in the media but who decided for integrity's sake they would not allow themselves to be used in that way. So when you ask, are vaccines safe and effective? And if we presented 52 articles, all fully scholar represented and legally represented as truth, with all the footnotes and no blind sources, no anonymous sources, and we do 4 award-winning documentaries, you have the proof. You can choose to be intentionally aware or intentionally ignorant. If you're biased, if you have an ideology, if you have an agenda, if you have money, if you have something in the game other than the truth, you're going to not look at any of that because you won't want to be informed. If you're just a regular person wanting the truth, then we have the truth for you. The trouble is the average American at this stage in our development has not enough pain in their lives to look for the truth anywhere. They're not looking for it in anything they're doing right now. And if you doubt me, challenge me on my facts, and I'll show you how 97% of the American population are intentionally eating garbage each day and then not having the insurance to cover themselves when they get sick, voting for politicians that do not have their interest at heart, not challenging things like Citizen United or reinstatement of the Glass-Steagall Act or forgiving student loans or having universal health care and paying for it by taking the profit, excessive profit, out of the system, which would allow you a $2.2 trillion annual savings. And yet Cortez and these other people who have a position but not the brains or the patience to look and do the scholarship are giving these massive shots of energy out into the universe with nothing backing them up that's going to cause anything to change. So we're not going to have universal health care. We're not going to have a new global awareness. We're not going to change a damn thing with the environment. We're not going to be healthier. We're not going to prevent any disease. We're not going to elect another honest politician, if that were even possible. So what in the world is supposed to happen if we're not willing to look for the truth? Well, I just gave you the truth. What you do with it is up to you now. But remember, we have 50 articles that are the truth. Share them. We have documentaries, including the latest, A Deadly Deception. Share it. And stop reading the New York Times. I don't anymore. It's just every single thing on there is just bias, bias, bias. My God. So hypocritical. But I want to let you know that so many people are now calling in that I just got a message from that we've overloaded our phones, and they have broadband to begin with because it's for worldwide. Here's another number to call to listen live to this show. Now write this down. You never know when you're going to need this. Write it down. 774-337-6068. Again, 774-337-6068. If you want to listen on the archive, that's good too. And we've expanded our archive, so another 100,000 people could download the show in the archive. Here's the number, 701-719-9976. Again, 701-719-9976. My voice is a little hoarse today because I was up all night trying to help with what's going on now, and I'll come to that a little later, but I want to go to something also very important now. First of all, I'm going to play you a clip from Anonymous. Listen carefully what they're saying. And then I'm going to read you a commentary from an article sent to us by Professor Ronald Purser, who was a guest just last week. And it's a really good article from Patheos. And it tells you the truth about who's behind and using, and in my opinion, abusing Greta Thunberg.
Greetings. This is a message to Greta Thunberg, from Anonymous. We understand and sympathize with your concerns about the environment, and agree that the blame lies with many of the world's most powerful corporations. However, you may want to be careful that you are not led astray by people who are a part of the problem, and it appears that this may be happening. Many of the powerful politicians that you met with and took photographs with, are deeply involved with many of the industries you speak out against. Many of the policies that you are advocating for are also misguided, despite their seemingly good intentions. For example, heavy carbon taxes will not have much of an effect on the fossil fuel industry, aside from making their cost of doing business a little bit higher. The large corporations that are destroying the planet have teams of lawyers on standby for any accusations that are brought against them, and they have money budgeted specifically for dealing with all of the fines that they intend to violate. Fines, taxes, and regulations rarely actually cause corporations to do business any differently, but these policies usually do end up hurting average individuals who were never even the intended targets of the policies to begin with. This is because the average person does not have teams of lawyers or money ready for fines. In the case of carbon taxes, the average person driving their car will be the person who ends up paying the real cost, and it is highly possible that the corporations could make even more money under a model like this. It is also important to consider that just throwing money at a problem is not a feasible solution, especially for something like this. If billions of dollars are funneled into government coffers as the result of some type of Green New Deal, what happens next? There doesn't seem to be any plan for what actually happens to the money, and when plans are actually offered, they typically fall short. For example, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who you recently met with, announced a plan to use money from oil pipelines to plant trees. This does not seem like much of a solution, as many of the native tribes in Canada, who are not very fond of Trudeau's government, will still be forced off of their land, which they are taking good care of, to make room for dangerous pipelines that are prone to spilling. This type of solution is not much different than a carbon tax idea. It is a small, and likely counterproductive measure that won't actually address the problems with how humans generate and consume energy, but instead, will just shift around more money through the hands of the ruling class. It is also important to mention that the environmental impact of war has been entirely left out of many of the recent climate change discussions. The military agencies of the world are responsible for the vast majority of the pollution on the planet. The United States government and their Western allies, along with Russia and China, take a large share of the blame for this pollution. The people who are destroying the planet have names and addresses and they are on the news every single day, but they are never held accountable. In the rare cases where they are held accountable, they usually receive a fine that seems like a large number to the rest of us, but is merely a small percentage of their net worth, so the penalties amount to nothing more than a slap on the wrist. Protecting the environment is important, but it is also important not to let people who are a part of the problem be in control of the solutions, because we run the risk of allowing them to make everything worse. If you truly do care about the future of the planet, be extremely careful of the people around you, and analyze their solutions very carefully, because you are currently surrounded by some very dangerous people who do not have the best interest of the planet in mind. We are anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
And I absolutely believe that that anonymous clip makes a lot of sense. They're not attacking her. No one who is a responsible, reasonable, and a compassionate person would attack a 16-year-old who has an idealistic view of what should be done and is angry at the adults who should be responsible for actually making changes, preventing the damage in the first place, not overexploiting any of the state of our planet so that there's no longer a renewable concept. And she's speaking her mind. But they're using her, and I know exactly where this is going to go. It's going to go to several $1 trillion a year in profit, in carbon, the carbon caps, where one country can have enough money that it can give another country to offset its carbon responsibility, and therefore it can continue to pollute. So nothing actually changes. That's what you got to understand about Al Gore and the rest of these fakes. None of this changes. But let me give you a little better background of who's behind this. And this is from Tom Swiss. And here's what he has to say. And it's a long article. I'll just take some of the end states here. Quote, Greta Thunberg is not casting such a spell. She is, I believe, an honest, true believer in her message. But the phenomena around her, the social media viral cult of personality, is a glamour being very deliberately cast. And it is being cast at what part of artist Hamada has described as a rebirth ritual, the rebirth of a monster. This, and then it goes on to talk about who is behind her, what are their motives. And it goes on, using a crisis to both co-opt dissidents and do a little rebranding to give an appearance of change while keeping the same type of exploitive structure in place. Pete Townsend summarized it well when he sang, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. We'll delve into the nature of this glamour later in this post, but we need some background first. As the climate crisis deepens, And it becomes more and more evident that we must take control of the planet away from the fossil fuel industry and its fellow travelers. There are two options. We can restore the ecology to the state of a commons owned and managed by the people and dig exploitive capitalism out by the roots. Of course, this could be done in either an authoritarian or a libertarian sense, but that's non-constructive. At least where the people own the commons only indirectly via the state, where dissident intellectuals are sent off to labor camps to restore damaged land or grow biofuel crops, and true comrades engage in regular struggle sessions to keep their praxis pure, or we could move towards an eco-anarchy of empowered individuals and communities working in voluntary cooperation to see that all human beings can have their basic needs met, both today and generations to come. Or we can give capitalism a rebirth. We can put a stake in the heart of fossil fuel industrial capitalism, only to hand control over to a different set of capitalists, ones whose mouth words like sustainable growth, as they plan to profit via the financialization of nature. As biologist and activist Judd Akil explains, quote, green growth, however, redefines green, not growth. Nature is described in the language of financial capital to better suit the new green economy. There's your Washington consensus, by the way. This green economy needs a flexible idea of nature, a nature divided into different ecosystem services that can be quantified, measured, and above all broken up into individual units so profit can be made from selling rights to these individual units of nature. We call this financialization of nature. By the way, that's Al Gore. That's the entire eco movement today at the capitalist level. That's why she was invited to Davos to sit with 5,000 of the most vile human beings on the planet. And yet she's 16. She thought when she was reading them the Riot Act and they were smiling and applauding that somehow she would win them over. She didn't win a damn human being over yet. And the kids still don't know what to do. They'll take a Friday off, most of them because it's a Friday off. But only a small percentage of those are going to do anything, and that's not going to last long if you don't give them something very constructive to do. It is such a perverse world where corporations are people and forests are bundles of carbon, water, and biodiversity offsets. Financialization of nature is a symbol of this perverse world, not a solution to its problems. Financialization represents further reduction of community control over their territories and the extension of the social license for corporations to destroy the web of life we depend upon and which is showing increasing signs of multiple crisis. Financialization, there's your World Wildlife Fund and all the rest, extends the damage done by a predatory and exclusive development model that activists have been fighting against for years. It is a model that favors companies that pollute and cause irreparable environmental impacts while destroying local communities and indigenous peoples' cultures and eroding or annihilating their historical and collective rights. Financialization of nature, and in particular markets and ecosystem services, provides a lifeline for this corporate destruction to continue despite the blatant and multiple ecological crises associated with it. So in essence, this sort of financialization at root, every bit as authoritarian as either the corporate reign of fossil fuel capitalism or the eco-Mao's vision that was just described. I'll give you just one simple example. The World Wildlife Fund, that I wouldn't give a nickel for them, has provided combat training and support equipment to park rangers in India's Kaziranga National Park, which has a shoot-on-site policy for poaching suspects. In an episode of the Dutch documentary TV series Zembla, titled Victims of the World Wildlife Fund, villagers accuse the World Wildlife Fund of managing oppression against them. Quote, like an invisible hand, the documentary reminds us that the World Wildlife Fund was founded by aristocratic hunters. In recent years, communities living in that area have been violently evicted to make room for rhino preserves. Villagers were shot with rubber bullets and beaten. Two people died. And this is only one example. Millions of people around the world have been displaced to make space for national parks. In general, the people who have contributed least to the climate crisis, the local inhabitants. The World Wildlife Fund has been accused of equipping and working directly with paramilitary forces to beat, torture, rape, and murder indigenous and other poor rural people in national parks across Asia and Africa. So this is a purview of how turning nature into a basket of ecosystem services will evolve into just a bloody business, as just as much as petrol extraction. So that's what is behind all this. And then you've got the most despicable human beings on the earth, including the journalists that are there to suck up to them and report favorably on them. Every year, the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, brings together heads of state and high government officials and bankers, financiers, and corporate executives and important figures from international organizations like the International Monetary Fund. There's a criminal organization. The World Bank, there's a real criminal organization. The World Trade Organization, 100% criminal. And OECD, as well as cultural elites, occasional celebrities, and various hangers-on. And what is its function? Well, its function is to merge global elite in globalization to the bankers, industrialists, oligarchs, technocrats, and politicians to promote their common ideas and serve their common interests, their common interests, not yours, not nature, not the rhinos, no, theirs. In fact, if you remember back to 1997, there was a political scientist, Samuel Huntington, who coined the term Davos man. For these elite, they have little need for national loyalty, none for the commons. They don't give a damn about you as a person, or your job, or your factory. They view national boundaries as obstacles that are thankfully vanishing and see national governments as residues from the past, whose only useful function is to facilitate the elite's global operations. And they've got good, willing attendants. Barack Obama, great at helping the elites, terrible at helping anyone else. But he looks good in a tie and looks kind of presidential. Just ask Rachel Maddow, another one of the elite's mouthpieces. And then you have all your NGOs. Most of these NGOs, these nonprofit organizations, my God, they don't help anyone and they hurt. Go down to Haiti if you doubt me and speak with all the people. I know I'm well connected throughout all of Haiti. And I marched with them. I was the only journalist to go up to Harlem and to demonstrate in front of Bill Clinton's office against the Clintons taking in all that billions and billions of dollars. Not a nickel goes to the average person. Well, they're all over Haiti. They're all over every place where there's a crisis. And they don't change the crisis, they empower it. So here we have Greta Thunberg, and she becomes a spokesperson for the WEF, first to an informal lunch gathering with Salesforce, like CEO Mark Benioff, former Goldman Sachs president Gary Cohen. Now there's an environmentalist, right? Humanist, vegan, person for the poor? No. You don't become president of Goldman Sachs or any of those other fettered organizations because you care about people. You care about money. You care about power. You care about celebrity status. You care about being a hyper-masculinized predator. And that's the entire Wall Street club. Yet they do a session entitled Preparing for Climate Disruption. And that's what they focus on. They want to protect the transnational ruling class, and Thunberg is just so inherently awesome that the most powerful people in the world are open to being scolded by her and will be moved to reform their sinful ways. No, you'd have to be a complete raving idiot to believe that. It's also one entirely at odds with the history of capitalism. So briefly, and we're going to run later today, so Jesse, let Eutrice know we're going to run a little later because I'm still going to deal with BAI. Greta Thunberg is the child of well-off connected celebrities in Sweden. Her father, Svante, is a moderately successful actor. Her mother, Erman, is an opera and music star and co-winner of the World Wildlife Federation's Environmental Hero of the Year for 2017. And it seems, starts with Greta's mother, that the World Wildlife Fund would certainly prefer to be associated with the singing star than a paramilitary park rangers evicting, torturing, and killing poor people. So in May of 2018, Erman, the mother, shared a stage at the Climate Parliament conference with tech CEO and financier Ingmar Renshaug And Renshaug is the founder of We Don't Have Time, a social media company aimed at and thus selling to and profiting from people concerned about climate change. And of Leica, an investment relations firm, and he's on the board of the of a major Swedish biggest real estate fund. And We Don't Have Time's investors include a man named Gustav Steinbeck, whose family controls one of largest Sweden's largest investment companies. And then Renshaug was at the time also chairman of a think tank called Global Utmaning, which means Global Challenge, whose founder, Christina Persson, is heir to an industrial fortune, and his board's vice chair was a member of one of Sweden's most powerful green energy investment groups. Another board member was chair of Swedish Environmental Objectives Council. In short, Renshaug, who's behind her in all this, is a dedicated member of the capitalist elite class with strong connections to the financialization of nature movement, there's your Al Gore, as well as his own profit motives to sell climate concerns. So around that time, climate activist Bo Thoren approached Thunberg and other winners of a recent environmental op-ed writing competition with a plan for a school strike. Hold on. We were told it was Greta. No, it was Bo Thoren, T-H-O-R-E-N, modeled on the student walkouts after the shooting in Parkland, Florida. And kind of an interesting parallel in that the Parkland students were promoted as figureheads by firearm prohibition advocacy organizations, their allies in the media. The famous March for Our Lives was backed by Every Town for Gun Safety, a group founded and originally funded by authoritarian ex-New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg. Now, the only student who was interested in Thorne's idea was Thunberg, so she decided to go ahead on her own with a protest at the Swedish Parliament on August 20, 2018. Renshaug learned about Thunberg's solo strike in a mailing from Thoren and saw a fantastic branding opportunity. He showed up to take pictures and posted all about her on We Don't Have Time Twitter account, launching Brand Greta. The company's, quote, chief marketing and sustainability officer, Martin Thorslund, took many of the first promotional photos of Thunberg. Some of them were used in an article written by chief operating officer David Olson and published on Medium a few days after her protest. It didn't hurt that this coincided with the release of Ehrman's book, Scenes from the Heart, a memoir of green lifestyle and the challenges of her daughter's developmental disorders. In short, Thunberg was listed as one of two, quote, special youth advisors and trustees to We Don't Have Time. In Renshaug's own words, quote, I have not invented Greta, but I helped to spread her action to an international audience. He also spread Brand Greta to investors, invoking her at least 11 times in promotional material for a share issue announced last November, hence the commercialization, the commodification of Greta. She didn't know this. She's innocent of this, but the people around her are not. He spoke to investors of the potential to, quote, be, quote, extremely profitable. I repeat, quote, extremely profitable. One more time so we drive this in. He said to investors, quote, this could be, quote, extremely profitable with viral environmental content supported by advertising. The venture would channel just 10% of its profits to a charitable fund. Wonder who would handle that. So selling their ability to produce viral content, they cited their creation of Brand Greta, quote, leading representatives from We Don't Have Time were the first to pay attention to Greta Thunberg's protest through Facebook and Twitter posts, as well as YouTube films that received viral spread. The company just played a central role in giving Greta Thunberg's protests great national and international attention. They raised $1 million from just that one single issue. How much did Greta's parents know or understand about this? We don't know. But we do know the nature of glamour. What is clear is that a very large piece of the story is missing from the dominant media coverage of Greta Thunberg's phenomena. And this is not accidental. We are being deliberately fooled, manipulated, and Thunberg phenomena is a brand being put forward by the transnational power class, not a grassroots solution. All right? I believe Greta is completely honest and completely sincere, and what she is saying needs to be dealt with, but not by those who will capture how it is dealt with and how they will profit from it. The supposed youth-led protests are being organized by groups in the nonprofit industrial complex, such as the Rockefeller-funded group, and the kids are a glamour to hide the moneyed interest. Thunberg's role is to push the urgency, to instill panic. That is literally the language she used at Davos. Quote, "I don't want your hope. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day, and then I want you to act," end quote. But did she write those words? There are people around her writing everything for her. But just what action are we supposed to take? No doubt Thunberg thought it was urging the Davos class to take positive and humane action. We support that. She's right. But they don't see it that way. You don't have billionaires listening to a 16-year-old. They wouldn't even listen to their own family members. No, what you have is you have people who see in her naivety and her innocence and her honesty, they can be right behind it, and every dollar thrown at the environment for cleaning it up, they will capture. Will they be planting trees? No. Will they be building hedges around the United States and other arid areas of our Midwest? No. Will they go on a reforestation? Will they re-energize isosorrel? Will they stop commercial farming and monofarming? No. Will they clean up the acidification of the ocean? No. Will they put new laws into effect, which they have the power to do, to stop the air pollution, water pollution? No, they're actually weakening those laws. Will they get the public to go vegan? No. Will they get the public to eat genetically engineered food? Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're going to demand massive spending of public monies on the climate crisis, and the Davos class will be ready to sell everything from lifestyle products like Ren's Hog's social media site to the financialization of nature. If you thought Al Gore was bad, and I've been warning you about him for a long time, he's chump change compared to the trillions of dollars these people expect to make. So I must state, she is innocent. I believe she is honest. And her message needs to be dealt with, but not by the people who are going to capture it, commodify it, commercialize it, and that's what they intend to do. Have a nice day. And Utrice, sorry for using the first 10 minutes of your program. Have a nice day.